The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Friday edition of the Leach Report. A little rainy here in Lexington for the start of the state high school football championships that get underway with two games today at Kroger Field, three tomorrow and one on Sunday. So for folks that are in Lexington for that, welcome into the town. Hopefully the weather will get a little – in fact, it is supposed to get a little better for you on Saturday and Sunday for the rest of the state championship weekend. Coming up on the show today, Freddie Maggard will be with us in the first half and Mike DeCourcy in the second. Two great guests to talk Kentucky football and to talk college basketball. And if you have a question for either one of them, shoot them to me at Leach Report on Twitter and LeachReport@gmail.com on the email, or you can give me a call. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. That's private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Joey Gatewood yesterday made the announcement that I think most had come to expect. He was going to transfer to Kentucky. 6'5", 233-pound quarterback who would be, from what reports I've seen, the fourth highest-rated player ever at Kentucky if Rodgers signs with the Cats later this month, as he's expected to do. He was rated the number three dual-threat QB in the nation when he came out of high school in 2018. The number one overall athlete, went to Auburn, sat out the first year, and then lost the quarterback battle to Knicks for this season, and then midway through the year decided or announced he was going to transfer, and so he ends up at Kentucky. And if he sits out in the upcoming season, as is expected, he'd be able to play in 21 and 22, and then they can make an appeal for immediate eligibility where he could play this season, and I have no idea. I mean, there's no reason to think he would win that appeal, but I have no clue on what they're going to decide, that particular committee is going to decide on any given case. So take your shot. Maybe it works. Bo Allen was contacted by a couple different media outlets. He said this doesn't affect his commitment to Kentucky at all. He's still going to sign next month. And if it played out where Joey Gatewood sits out this season, if he becomes the starter in 21 and 22, then Bo Allen would still have 2 years of separation, as Justin Rowland mentioned yesterday, to perhaps become the starting quarterback. So shouldn't be any problem in that area. Men's basketball going to London next season. The London, like in the U.K., the United Kingdom, as Kentucky will play Michigan, and then a home-and-home with the Wolverines in the following two seasons. Cats play tomorrow against Fairleigh Dickinson. John Calipari continuing to pound away at the theme that he mentioned on the radio show Monday night. They have to become an unbelievable defensive team. Fight and finish are the two words that he is pounding away at to his players in practices. Dante Allen, Cal said Monday, was able to go through scrimmages in practice. Well, the knee acted up a little bit, and so he hadn't been able to go since then. So don't get too excited about Dante returning anytime soon. It'll happen. It's just this was what I was afraid of. The knee swells up a little bit after you put it under stress. And so you've got to wait a little while longer before you stress it. State high school football title games this weekend, two today. We'll talk about it in a second with Freddie. UK volleyball hosting NCAA first and second round action at the Coliseum this weekend. Kentucky plays tonight at 7:30 Eastern against Southeast Missouri. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page. That's at TomLeachKY.com. We're heading to a break, and Freddie Maggard will join us when we come right back. Our show is served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, located in Palomar and in Hamburg. We'll be out in the Hamburg location for our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday morning quarterback show with Coach Ortmeyer this coming Monday. And if you are heading out to tailgate at the high school playoffs or having a watch party for the Kentucky game, call Wild Eggs. Let them cater it, and you will love it. We'll be right back.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
14 past the top of the hour here on this Friday edition of the Leach Report. The KHSAA in a tweak to their playoff format, how it plays out to the championship games. And it has led to a situation where you have two games today, the Class A final matching Paintsville against Pikeville, and the Class 3A final tonight matching Belfry against Bell County. So it's Mountain Day at the state football championships, and other than the people associated with the four respective teams, I can't imagine anybody's probably more excited about that than our next guest, Freddie Maggard. Hello, sir.
Hello, Tom. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Pretty excited about those matchups?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
That's pretty cool.
I'm calling three of them. The first one being tonight with Bell County and Belfry. So I tried to remember how you did your boards when I was in the booth with you, and I bought three big boards and I got them ready as best as I can, and I'm ready to call that game tonight. So, Belfry and Bell County, that's two legendary coaches, the number one and two all-time winners in Kentucky high school football history. So it's going to be a good one.
KHSAA.org. You can go there and you can find the link to all the TV coverage and hear Freddie's call. Who are you working with?
I'm not for sure. I'll find out today when I get in it. I think Steve Bertram is who I'm normally with, so probably him. He's really good at the play-by-play stuff, and I just give my two cents about the commentary.
Well, in a matchup like that, you might just throw in a nickel's worth.
Well, one thing about the next 3A championship game, it's going to get over quick with Bell County and Belfry playing.
Well, if Kentucky ends up in some of these projected matchups, if they end up in the Gator Bowl against Iowa and Wisconsin, Kyle Tucker and I were joking, the game could be over in 2 hours. It'd be 10-7.
Yeah, I was adding it up last night trying to figure out what time I'm going to be home. So it's 4 times 12 plus 12-minute halftime. That's how long that'll be until I get home.
You know, Kentucky with, as we'll segue into what they've done with Lynn Bowden here in a minute, but they they always put the windows for college football games usually at 3 hours, and they're never going to fit into 3 hours, except for Kentucky now, that they usually finish about as quickly as anybody does. Before we get into what this team did this season, let me get you a quick thought from you about the pickup of Joey Gatewood.
You know, that's a significant get by Vince Merrill, which, you know, again, proves that, yeah, he's the best in the business. I mean, I wrote about it. You know, I'm back riding and doing some work with KSR. And, you know, I wrote, and I truly believe, Tom, that this is Mark Stoops and his staff is the best collection of recruiters, teachers, and developers that during my lifetime. So I'll go back 50 years. I think this is the best coaching staff that's been at the University of Kentucky. They deserve a lot of credit, not only for building the product on the field, but as they saw against Louisville, Mark Stoops has built a program, not a team, with that depth, and especially on the line of scrimmage. And enough cannot be said about that. But the pickup of Gatewood, you know, we'll see how that works out. This is Terry Wilson's team. After, you know, when he comes back, it's his team, and then we'll see how the NCAA, and I heard you earlier, you know, if the quarterback from Ohio State can get cleared immediately, I don't see why. Yeah, I see no rhyme and reason in it. So
I don't either.
We'll see how it works out.
You know, the guy you played for, Coach Claiborne, primarily, or at least recruited you here, that started playing for, wanted to play a similar kind of football, very physical. And he had some really good offensive and defensive linemen. Just couldn't get them in the numbers that this staff has been able to get. I think that's the thing that has, I think, probably amazed people, that a lot of pundits would always say that, you know, if Kentucky was ever going to break through, it would have to be with some kind of a gimmicky system or something. They couldn't get the numbers of the big guys to compete, but this staff's been able to do it.
Well, I mean, each team takes on the personality of your head coach. Mark Stoops is a Youngstown guy. He's a tough guy, even though I think he's an incredible man, very caring about everybody he works for, or works with, rather. But he's a tough guy. He believes in physicality. And you see that on the line of scrimmage. I know 2020 is setting up to be some are saying the best class in the history of Kentucky football recruiting. But I point out, look at the last couple of players that were the last players on the board, the last players that Kentucky got that were write-offs by everybody else in college football till late. Josh Allen, look what he did, two-star kid, last player signed pretty much. Then you look at Calvin Taylor Jr., same thing, an afterthought, a no-star, a two-star, second in the SEC in quarterback sacks. Look at a couple of years ago, Abulia Bobby Fitzgerald, a two-star or a no-star in some instances, looks to be a starter for next year's defensive line if things go the way they are now. So not only is Kentucky recruiting and signing the high-level players, which 2020 is going to be a significant number of high-layer players, but look at towards the bottom of the class, and I think the bottom of the class is just as important as the top, and Coach Stoops has done a tremendous job with both.
I remember, you can take a bow on this, that there was so much hype about that 2014 class. But you, I remember, were really most high on the next group that came in.
Right.
And I know you saw a lot of guys that were just really good football players.
Right.
You know, the Cash Daniel, Landon Young, Drake Jackson class. And you need to take a bow for that one.
Well, you know, there's a difference between loving to be recruited and loving the game of football. And I see the 2020 class, I see them as loving the game of football as well. So I do agree with the projections of this class to be the best ever. I need to look more into it and get more in depth with the analysis and study more film. But I, you know, 2014 certainly had the star power. But then this classes that follow it had players that just love the game of football. Look at Drake Jackson, arguably the best center to ever play at Kentucky. And I know people say, well, Damani Dawson played guard. So that's for another time. But, guys that just love the game of football, Cash Daniel, Landon Young, Boogie Watson was a basketball player and look what he's doing, 6.5 sacks. So again, I think you look at any recruiting class, you look at the top half and the bottom half. If that bottom half doesn't contribute, then you're in trouble. I think Coach Stoops has done a tremendous job with the bottom half of each class that he signed.
Your buddy Cole Kubelik came out with his all-SEC teams for the offensive line yesterday.
Yeah.
He had Drake Jackson on the first team, along with another Lexingtonian, Jedrick Wills from Alabama, and Logan Stenberg on the second team.
Yeah. Well, Stenberg's a player, I mean, you and I talked about in length when Kentucky was recruiting him. I love this kid. Kentucky was his only Power 5 offer, and here he is, all-SEC, All-American candidate, and we see what he's done. You know, I saw him in that Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game, and he just had a different level of nastiness. You had that with the size, athletic ability. I saw great things from Logan, and I've written about it, and I said, I think Logan Stenberg is a top five all-time offensive guard during my lifetime. You know, I say that because I wasn't around, obviously, and have not seen a bunch of film of the Bear Bryant days before. But since I've been watching football, been around Kentucky football, Logan Stenberg is a top five guard, and I think that's a tremendous testament. John Schlarman, given everything he's dealt with, should be the top assistant coach award, whatever that, the Broyles award, whatever that is. What he's gone through, what he's developed and put on the field with that offensive line, especially the last quarter of the season, I'm not sure that I've seen an offensive line dominate like Kentucky's has in recent games.
Just been amazing. Freddie Maggard's with us on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline. We'll take a break. Come back one more segment. Mike DeCourcy in the second half of the show on the Friday edition of the Leach Report.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Freddie Maggard with us. It's the Leach Report for a Friday. You've seen a lot of great football players, played with some, played against some. What's your take on what Lynn Bowden has done over these past seven games?
It's amazing. You know, I know the Horning Award has a fan vote component to it. I think it's one of 18.
Mm-hmm.
Uh, the rest of it. I mean, if Lynn Bowden does not win the Hornig Award, then they need to just stop having that award. He is hands down the best all-around football player in America. And I would say, obviously with not only playing quarterback for not the complete season, I would think, I would vote for him for the Heisman. That's how highly I think of him right now, Tom. I've never seen anything like it. A receiver playing quarterback, the defense, everybody in the stadium, the opposing coaches know that the run is coming, and they can't stop it. Lynn Bowden, we talk about his flashiness, how he can break tackles and the shiftiness when he runs. What stands Lynn out to me is the toughness in which he runs, the way he runs through blocks, the way he gets that extra yard, the way he gets first down. That's contagious. So it's on the field production, but Lynn's contagious competitiveness, that's what I think is been just incredible. And it's gone across the team. The entire team has played differently when Lynn was at quarterback, because once you get that momentum, once you see a teammate, I'm going back to the former player, once you see a teammate give his all, throw his guts out on the field, then you're going to run, you're going to do anything you can to help that teammate. So everything amps up. So I think what Lynn has done across the team as far as attitude, toughness, and his willingness to win has been contagious, and that's why we've seen Kentucky go 7-5 this year.
About a minute here, Freddie. I'd like to be interested in your take from the way you love to break things down. There's a component of it, of the success, that's Lynn. There's a component that's the offensive line and all the other guys blocking for him. And there's a component to the schemes that the offensive staff is drawing up.
Yeah.
How do you – is that three equal parts as far as the success, or is it mostly Bowden? What's your thought?
I think it's three equal parts because, again, the opposing defenses know that the run is coming. So what Eddie Grant has done so masterfully – is disguise that with different looks, different formations, different personnel groups, motions, whatever he can do to get Lynn and get that offense going. So I think Eddie Grant has done a tremendous job of disguising, of announcing what Kentucky's going to do, but also the execution portion of it. But he's done a tremendous job as far as putting the same plays into motion, into action, through different looks, personnel groups, and things of that nature to achieve the same goal as the original play. So just all three have just been tremendous.
Freddie, I know in addition to breaking down football, I'm glad to see you back doing posts for KSR and coming with us here on the radio. Give us about 15 seconds on Shepherd's House.
Well, we're located in Lexington, Danville, all over the place. We offer a quality recovery programming for men. And we have a sober living transitional home, intensive outpatient treatments, and other things that we help people in central Kentucky and all throughout the Commonwealth. And we love to serve our fellow Kentuckians, and we'll continue to do so.
So look it up, Google Shepherd's House. You can find out more, and we'll get Freddie back. Once we know the bowl matchup, I'll holler back at you. We'll talk about that. But thank you for jumping on, Freddie.
Okay, great talking to you, Tom. Have a good day.
You too. That is Freddie Maggard. Great to have him back on the show with us. And we're going to get Mike DeCourcy when we return.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
Second half of our show for this Friday, we switched out to college hoops and bring in Mike DeCourcy on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline. You read him at SportingNews.com. You see him on Big Ten Network, Fox Sports Now. New gig with Fox. What are you doing for them, Mike?
Well, starting in mid-January, I will be doing their bracket predictions and analysis.
So you'll be the Fox Joe Lenardi.
I tried to think of it otherwise. I try not to think of myself being Joey Brackets, but that's kind of the idea. I actually exchanged emails with one of the producers there yesterday, and we talked. I start up my analysis in mid-January, and I thank them for allowing us to do that, you know, with some actual games having played instead of trying to defend a bracket based on 5.5 games.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's, you know, I always say people, you know, there's so much of the bracket talk and the bracketologists, and it started with Joe. It's like, God bless him for coming up with it. I mean, somebody had to invent all the great things, you know, in the world, and, you know, something becomes a big part of our lives, and you think, why didn't I think of that? That's a simple enough idea. And it's like now, you know, people have can do the bracket analysis, and people obviously love it. So that'll be fun to see on Fox Sports starting in January. And it's going to be really challenging for you. You're going to have your first year doing that for them. It's going to be really challenging because we've had Evansville win at Kentucky, Stephen F. Austin win at Duke, Virginia score 40 points and get beat by 29, North Carolina score 49 points at home and get beat by 25, Michigan steamroll through a tournament and come back and score 43 at Louisville. So is it going to be that chaotic all year?
I you know, the chaos to the extent of the defeats by Kentucky and Duke, I don't think that will be something that will become commonplace. Those were extraordinary events. But I do think they were indicative of the difference between, or maybe the lack of difference between, what still will be the best teams for the most part and those that are on the next level or even the level below that. You look at a Kentucky roster, and it's loaded with really good players, but it doesn't have the level. It doesn't have a John Wall or a Carl Towns or an Anthony Davis or even a Nerlens Noel. You know, had Nerlens played a full healthy season, they don't have guys like that on this team. They have a lot of really good players, and maybe one very good in Tyrese Maxey. But even he has a ways to go to get to his full potential. And it's funny because they're still viewed in this ideal of, you know, the one and done, and that's how, you know, that's what they're doing. But this is a much more veteran Kentucky team. I mean, nearly all of the players, you know, you go, I think it's, 4 or 5 of the top 6 scorers are all veteran players. So it's a different setup, and I don't think it's indicative necessarily of Kentucky having recruited at a lower level than they ordinarily do. I think they were recruiting from a lower level than they ordinarily do. It's just not an exceptional class. There's some good players in the class, but very few who are absolute difference makers.
Yeah, it's actually the timing is good for Kentucky to have that more veteran presence then, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. To bring back players like Emmanuel and Ashton, those guys in particular, and you know I like what's happening with Nick Richards because Nick is showing what happens when you stick with it. I mean, there were a lot of people telling Nick to give it up at Kentucky, either by going somewhere else or just going and playing professionally, and Nick realized that he needed to get better, and there's nothing wrong with that. Bob Huggins used to say when people criticized him about his graduation rate, and his line was, "It's not a race." That you know, if you get your degree in 6 years or 7 years, as opposed to the customary 4, you still have your degree, and that's how he defended the way they did things at Cincinnati. Well, it's not a race to get to the NBA either. In some instances, it makes you less money if you take it as a race. And I think that PJ a year ago showed that. If PJ had gone to the NBA after his freshman season as he was supposed to, he would have been taken somewhere in the second round and would have struggled to make a team, probably spent a lot of time playing in, depending on the place that took him, Bakersfield or Fort Wayne or Maine or somewhere like that. I don't think that's really the goal. And so instead he sticks it out, he gets better. And he didn't even get it better immediately. It took a while in his sophomore season to become the extraordinary player he became. But he stuck with it, and now he's being rewarded for that.
I think coming into the season, most people would have said if Nick and EJ would be two of the keys to Kentucky's season. And there's an element of this and that I liken to and you don't cover thoroughbred racing, but I think this is like a trainer that has a talented horse that he can see something happen in a breakthrough in the horse's training, and he knows something's changed and the horse has improved even before it actually is shown in a race. And Kentucky has played one marquee opponent so far, and I'm in Michigan State, and yet I watched the way that Nick and EJ are playing, and EJ since he's come back from this injury. And I see things in body language and the way they, you know, go after rebounds and things that I hadn't seen in the past, which suggests to me that there's a breakthrough that's happening that is going to last.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect analogy. I do. You look at EJ and how he was set back a little bit by the injury that happened early in the season. And so he didn't get a chance to play a lot of the Michigan State game and have an impact, and he missed some other games. And in his return subsequent to the injury has been gradual. It took a little time, you know, the Mount St. Mary's game, et cetera. He wasn't really there. But then he goes and plays UAB, which is a legit team. I mean, they're not going to, you know, they aren't necessarily going to go out and win 30, but they're, you know, it's a solid program that has had great years and maybe is on its way to a good year this year. It's still early to say. But then he goes out and plays the way that I have been saying all year he needs to play for this Kentucky team to have a chance to be really good. I said in the preseason that he has to be a 13-7 player minimum. That if he's not that, then this Kentucky team will struggle to win the kinds of games they want to win. They'll struggle to beat Auburn, Mississippi State. I mean, they may win some of them, but they don't want to win some. They want to win most, if not all. So to do that, you have to have EJ be that, at least that player. And obviously, even better if he's what he was last Friday, which was 16-8. And I think he's capable of that. I just didn't want to set a standard for him that, you know, that was necessarily, you know, if he didn't reach it, they wouldn't be good. I thought that if he could at least do this, 13-7, 13.7 rebounds, that everything else will get better as a result. And I do think that he's capable of much more than that. But just with that, everybody else's shots, everybody else's opportunities are going to get easier. And that's, you know, the fact that he did that last week is a reason why they were able to beat a solid team by double figures.
Talk with Mike DeCourcy. You can read him at sportingnews.com, at TSN Mike on Twitter. And we'll get to a break here, come back, and have one more segment. It's 17 away from the top of the hour. It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Now 14 away from the top of the hour, Mike DeCourcy is with us from sportingnews.com and the Big Ten Network and Fox Sports. And on the Big Ten Network, I suspect they are talking a little bit at least about Ohio State basketball amid all the football, because the Buckeyes, who will show up on Kentucky's schedule here in a couple of weeks, look like the real deal so far.
They've been excellent, and not really a surprise to me. I did have them ranked second in the Big Ten and in our preseason top ten. Chris Holtmann is just an outstanding coach. He brought back a core of really good perimeter players, guys. Not necessarily. They had to get a grad an in season transfer point guard who's done very nicely. But they had a core of really good perimeter wing guys, and that's gone really well for them. Luther Muhammad was terrific in the Carolina game with the energy he provided. They've gotten a lot from those guys. And then at the core of it is Caleb Wesson, who a year ago was not in great shape, was a talent because he had great hands and great skill. He's very good in the post and a very good for a 6'9", 6'10" guy, very good three-point shooter, so they can do a lot with him. But he wasn't in great shape, so he often fouled somewhat out of indifference, somewhat out of laziness. You know, you get out of position, so you reach, that kind of thing. I don't mean he was a perpetually lazy defender, but he would commit lazy fouls. And he got himself in great shape, and the fouls have become not a problem. And so they're able to play him more. And when he's in the game, they are a different team because they, like I said, they can bring him out in a pick and pop or a pick and roll. They can put him down in the post, and you have to deal with him. If you don't double him, you're in trouble. If you do, it opens some very good shooters. They brought in a very good freshman class, E.J. Liddell, D.J. Carton, the backup point guard they have. So that when they go to the bench, they, to an extent, get better because they bring off excellent talent who can elevate the play. And so they've got a lot going for them. And I think they'll continue to improve through the course of this season.
Mike DeCourcy with us on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline. Back to Kentucky, we talked about Nick and EJ. Higgins is doing his thing quickly, so the veterans' presence seems to be on track. What else needs to fall into place for Kentucky to be all it wants to be?
Well, I think it would be great if Khalil Whitney can become a more productive player. He's struggling with his offense right now, and I think that that sometimes affects the rest of a freshman's game. But the offense itself, he's got to become more comfortable with that, and he's not made a lot of three-point shots. And in that position, in today's game, it's hard to be a really effective player without being at least a capable three-point shooter. And he's not been that yet. And I don't know that the rest of his game at the college level, at the level beyond high school, supports him not being a proficient three-point shooter, proficient perimeter shooter. 3 points obviously makes it better because it's worth another point, but he's not made jump shots at the level he needs to in order for everything else to flow. To get away with not being a shooter in today's game, I mean, you just have to be like three levels athletically beyond everybody else. And Khalil's not that. I mean, he's a very good athlete. So he's very skilled, but he's got to be a proficient jump shooter in order to open up the rest of that.
Yeah, he's going to be an interesting example, possibly, as this plays out, to kind of cycling back something you were talking about earlier with players on with improving and their own timetable. There's always, I mean, he's projected in the first round. He's tremendous athleticism, but to me, the thing the guys miss too often is you should leave when you have the best chance to succeed with your
game.
That's
what Jerry West always has said. And Jerry West has won like 700 NBA championships. You know, it's funny. You see a championship won, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you look at the fingerprints, and like Jerry West, like spent a month with these people, or he's a consultant, or he's the GM, or he played. You know, I mean, he's been a part of so many success stories in the NBA that you'd think that people would listen to him by now. He's always said, it's not about when you can get drafted; it's about when you can play. And I understand now in today's game that you don't want to, pass up the opportunity to get drafted and then get hurt or something like that. But there are so many stories of guys who were capable of becoming significant NBA players and just weren't developed enough to get there. And then they went into the draft and maybe they got selected late in the first round or not in the first round. And they got paid a little bit of money, but not what would have happened had they developed as players and become ready to play in the league and the kind of people that teams don't want to let go. And I think there are certainly stories, and there was a player named Ennis at Syracuse about 6 or 7 years ago, and he was getting projected to go in the borderline lottery. And I watched him play, and I said, oh, by all means, go, because you're never going to be that guy. You're not good enough. He didn't have any game. And so if people were going to get fooled and take you, then that's what he should do. And that's exactly what happened. He got selected around 13, 14, 15 in there, maybe 18, somewhere in there, but in a good spot. And he didn't make it because he wasn't talented enough. But if you're a player like Khalil, I mean, that's not the issue. It's not whether you're talented enough. It's whether your talent is developed to the point that you can go into the league and make a team and stay in the league.
Yeah, it's that seems, again, it kind of my partner Mike Pratt always, I think, frames it up best. Do you want to visit the NBA or do you want to stay in the NBA?
I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a great way of putting it, absolutely.
You think of it in those simple terms and make your decisions accordingly. And, you know, sometimes, you know, leaving can be the right decision, but, you know, it's not leaving for the NBA. Maybe you find the better fit somewhere else, or they've recruited over you, or whatever it might be. But if you kind of think in those terms and keep that as your focal point, I think more guys would turn out better for them. Mike, always good chatting. We'll do this on a regular basis now on Fridays, and so we'll talk to you next week.
I'll always look forward to it, Tom. Thank you.
And Mike DeCourcy, you see him on the Big Ten Network, soon on Fox, their college basketball coverage, doing the brackets. TSN Mike on Twitter, sportingnews.com, and we'll get a little movie talk with him pretty soon, too, for the Christmas holiday break. Right now, we need to get to a break. He'll be right back on the Leach Report Radio Network. CBI Insurance, game day weather. Looking rainy today. Right now, rain in 46 in Lexington. And it's game day for four teams that are seeking state high school football championships. Six more tomorrow and then two on Sunday. Tomorrow should be sunny in 47, it says, and Sunday a little cloudy, but up to 56 degrees. Donato, slice of Wildcat history. This day in 1997, Kentucky crushed Indiana. And it was the first time Bob Knight had lost four in a row to Kentucky. He didn't handle that well. Happy birthday to Sam Malone, former Wildcat, and another former Cat, Bob Fowler, who passed much too soon, was born on this day. To wrap it up, let me give you the Tito's Vodka Race of the Week. It's the Grade 1 Cigar Mile up in New York. I couldn't get past the favorite Maximum Security in there, so try to find some value in the, if you play Exacto or Trifecta, Bal Harbour from the Pletcher Barn came out of the Fayette here at Keeneland, which produced the 1 and 3 finishers in the Grade 1 Clark at Churchill. And so that was a really tough race that Bal Harbour dropped out of, and maybe he could get up for second or third at a big price tomorrow in the Cigar Mile. It's going to do it for us today. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg on Monday for our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Show. We'll know what the bowl matchup is by then, so we'll be talking a lot about that. We'll see you then on the Leach Report.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report Radio Network. Miss the show? Catch the podcast at TomLeachKY.com or on the iHeartRadio app.
The following is an advertisement.
The lawyers of Von Pettit Legal Group have over 60 years' experience helping people all over Kentucky solve their legal problems. We are a full-service, local law firm full of highly intelligent, hardworking people. From helping you start a business to employment law to estate and tax planning and many things in between, the lawyers of Von Pettit Legal Group can help you solve your legal issues quickly and effectively. Located in Piwee Valley, you can reach us at 502-243-9700.